In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the eras to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast. Resorts, homes and a newly built hospital have been washed away.
I'm just holding on for dear life here. This isn't fun.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Save what for dream. You must ready.
Helping your community.
Helping your family.
Helping you.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Bulabinaka, I'm Josiah Nanunga, based in Fiji.
Hi, I'm Fred Hooper, based in Australia.
And this is Pacific Prepared. This show aims to interweave traditional knowledge and climate change, helping you to be ready for any disaster.
Through stories and Talanoa from the Pacifica. On today's show, we're going to focus in on tsunamis, memories of tsunamis, and what you should do before, during, and after a tsunami.
And the shores of Tangangi Village tell a story of strength and survival.
You can actually see the rapid changes that is happening on the foreshore. And it proves the point that the effect of climate change is real.
That's all coming up. This is Pacific Prepared.
Disaster is part of our life, and recovering is also part of our life.
As you see, they're smiling despite the devastation. That's how we are.
You are listening to Pacific Prepare.
In September 2009, there were two large earthquakes in between Samoa and American Samoa. And as a result, that caused a huge wave up to 20 metres high in some places.
Sadly, just under 200 people in Samoa and American Samoa were killed as a result of the tsunami. And it's still a painful memory for people involved.
But a small positive to come from the event was that it made the threat of tsunami real, and it reminded people of the power that the ocean has.
Pacific Prepared spoke with a Samoan resident who recalls the tsunami and how things have changed since.
The important thing that happened from the tsunami is that people have changed the mindset, that this is serious. Because before, it wasn't serious to us. I'm Paul. My last name is Smith. I come from the big island of Savai'i. We call ourselves Afkasi. Afkas. So.
Paul, can you remember the 2009 tsunami that happened here in Samoa?
I remember it as if it was like yesterday. So I was staying up at Vawala. It's one of the, from on the hills. So it's five.
Is that in Savai'i or?
No, here in Upolu. Okay, yep. So this is the affected island. So I was in, I live in the north side, but the south side got hit by the tsunami. And we all felt the earthquake. It was never before. I remember that morning, everything on the shelves went to the floor. So everyone panicked. We thought it was something, it was just strange. So people just stand outside their houses and look around until we heard sirens of... So the first fire truck, the emergency services, passed by our house at on top of the hill, going down to the affected areas. That's the truck that got crashed and they all died. So they were the first medical people that went that died on the road. So yeah, it wasn't a good day. It wasn't a good memory of what happened, but it is what it is, but...
When did you sort of first realise how big the tsunami was and how much impact that disaster had on Samoa?
We've heard of tsunamis and we've watched movies and... But we've never seen it before, so we kind of don't believe that it can happen to Samoa. So, but when we, our families at the south side sent pictures to us the same morning, and everyone got panicked. Even the national television was at the, on site on the day, so they broadcast it live on national TV. So everyone was on, every family was in front of their TV and watching. And praying that no member of their family got affected. So, yeah, it was like that. We it was a it wasn't a good memory of the event, but we got out all right.
And you were saying that the mindset now has changed since that event as well in Samoa. Do you think?
Yeah, because when the earthquake struck, and happened. We went through a lot of earthquakes, but nothing happened. So we were more relaxed. So you've seen in Samoa, people are very relaxed people. So we're happy people. We call ourselves happy people. We're not really bothered when the natural disasters come. We've been through cyclones. We know we can survive. But
there's,
it was
not, there's not much that bothers you at all, really, is there, yeah. Samoan?
Yeah, people are just relaxed, and they just try to do their thing and then work on the land and then go back home. It's all about family. So when that happened, we weren't taught that this is serious. The tsunami can be very serious. Yeah. Even the climate change now and the global warming, it is a serious matter, but if you talk to the local, the Samoan people, we're like, okay, if it happens, it happens.
What do you think changed after that tsunami in people's minds?
Whenever there's a... Not only we've done a lot of awareness and TV promotions on how to survive during a tsunami, people are very alert now. People get to hear the message very quickly and they get it. But before, we did a few drills in Samoa. The whole of the country participated before the tsunami. No one bought it. Yeah, we did.
So no one did the drill.
They did the drill, and the drill said you go to the higher place. So they all walk. They just walk and laugh, and then they come back. During the tsunami, no one went to the hill. No one ran. So when it happened. So that's why a lot of people died. But after the tsunami, the government has put in place safety areas where, and signs and boards where you can run straight to that area for safety. So pretty much we've had a few tsunami warnings that came later. Everyone was up and running. Even though there was no tsunami and people got panicked, and even the meteorology office said, you need to know the notice. It's a warning and it's a watch. There's a difference between a watch and a warning. Yep. So yeah. People are learning that.
Yeah, okay.
But now people have that different mindset from before.
Okay.
Now they know it's serious.
But the people are still quite relaxed, do you think, in Samoa, despite having that kind of different mindset around natural disasters now? People have maintained that relaxed attitude?
Yeah, they still have that relaxed attitude, but they are mindful of what happened in 2009. So whenever there's a tsunami warning, even I think 4 weeks ago, one of the sirens in around town got, faulty, and it went off, and everyone reacted.
Right.
That's a good sign.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a faulty, everyone reacted. Everyone called in. Everyone drove uphill and waited if they cancelled the thing. And they said, it's just a drill. So it's good.
How does it make you feel as a Samoan living here? I mean, it's a beautiful place, obviously, in the middle of the Pacific. But do you feel quite vulnerable in some ways too, knowing that there could be another earthquake which could cause another tsunami, or there could be some other natural disaster like a cyclone come along. Do you feel that vulnerability?
Yeah, we know we are vulnerable to any of the natural disasters because we're living in this coastal island. So, but with the measures that the government has put in, and we kind of feel okay. So we have areas to go. We know the awareness that are going on, where to go, where during a natural disaster, and yeah, I think we're in a good place.
Yeah.
What we can do. I think we can just enjoy life, and the important thing that happened from the tsunami is that people have changed the mindset, that this is serious. Because before it wasn't serious to us. That's why most of the people that died, they were on the coastline. They all watched the sea gone inside them, and there was no water. They all watched it. They didn't know what was going on. They said, wow, this is new. And then a few minutes later, they see a giant wave. Then they start running. Then they panic. That's why they die. So, and it's a good wake-up call for us. And even if after more than 10 years now, people are very alert and they're very responsive when the government come up with awareness and stuff like this. The village councils, they provide places for the government to do their promotions and stuff. They even allocated lands on the hills for people to gather and for recovery process if it happens.
Do you think it's changed people's attitudes toward climate change as well, the tsunami in 2009? Has that come into the conversation as well, climate change?
I won't say that, but climate change came after the... It's one of the effects. But people are aware of the... Yeah. I mean, we're the least hurt, but the more affected. So we're just hoping. We've done... the government has done a lot of ways to help with the climate change and all this stuff going on. But we're just hoping that the big guys will hear us and stop with all of this. Because we're a small island. We can only do so much. But we're hoping the whole of the world can work together.
Father Tai, and thanks to Paul Smith from Savai in Samoa for reliving his memories and experience from the tsunami back in September 2009.
The time to prepare is now, not right before an emergency.
No electricity, nothing whatsoever.
You are listening to Pacific Prepared.
The Turangani Koro, or village head, plays a vital role in representing community needs. And these days, in most coastal villages in Fiji, Fred, climate change is right at the top of that list.
In Tikage village on the south coast of Fiji's main island, village elder Kini Chochi Sarai says complaints about coastal flooding are becoming more frequent. Joe, why is that the case?
Well, Fred, that's because most of the villages live right next to the coast, and with sea levels rising, the risks are getting harder to ignore.
Right now, the community is working together to protect their homes and keep everyone safe, but they're in desperate need of a proper seawall to reduce the threat of flooding, erosion, and rising seas.
And I spoke with Mr. Kini Chochi Sarai, who will tell us more about the history or the Talanoa about Tangange village and the issue they are experiencing right now. Let's take a listen.
Dolavina, my name is Kini Chochi. I'm widely known as Kini Sarai.
The village of Tangange is located along the Coral Coast, next to Singatoka Town. If you are coming into Fiji from Nandi Airport and commute to Suva by the Queen's Highway, this is one of the villages that you will eventually go past on your way to Suva or vice versa. Kini Chochi, just talk about, you know, the village is located by the sea. And I've noticed that there are some rocks being neatly piled up at the entrance of the village when you come towards, when you enter the village. Just talk about when did that initiative started and how it has helped the community.
Thank you. Well, actually, Tangange Village, I once received a letter from a friend from Australia. He did not know the address, so this is what he wrote. Tangange Village, 20 minutes east of Singatoka, suicide of Singatoka. So the parcel actually got here. It's just past Hideaway. That initiative was done by the Roads Authority of Fiji, seeing that there was a lot of that part of the roadside was being eroded from the waves coming from the sea. So that's what they did. They piled the stones at an angle, and it has been a huge help, especially to us, because we also have that seawall at Hideaway, which we feel has been, I would say, a negative because just of the shape of the seawall. And that has, you know, kind of taken the sand away. But I'm sure had they changed the angle of the seawall, so, you know, so that the waves can hit and breathe, the sand would have been there. But as it is, you can see that it digs the footing of the wall. And I know it's quite expensive putting up seawalls and doing exercises like that, but was in Tangange, that particular work by the Fiji Roads Authority is greatly appreciated. And they just piled the stones and nature just worked itself on it. And we are very grateful for that. With this ongoing issues that we are receiving about climate change, that is, you know, quite a big help, especially to us here in the village. There's so much that we would like to do, but any little help we will take. Thank you.
Those piles of rocks, sort of like what other villages or communities are practicing along their beachfront, classified as a nature-based solution. And you've just highlighted about how waves are slowly chewing the authenticity or the beauty of the beach, especially that that section of the village. What about the main village coast front?
The main village portion still has its natural, like, foreshore from when I was little. But in the last maybe, say, 10 years, you can actually see the rapid changes that is happening on the foreshore. And it proves the point that the effect of climate change is real. For us here on the Coral Coast, yes, it's real. And we are witnessing it. We are trying our very best to you know, manage it, but we can only go so far. So,
Mr. Kinichochi, before we wrap up, we want to hear some stories in Talanoa of past disasters. you know, in this village, what is the disaster evacuation or emergency plan? Where is the evacuation center, and where would the villagers normally evacuate themselves in times of disaster?
Thank you. Right across here is the Queen's Highway, and just on the other side is the hillside. For us here in Tangange village, we have a few spots up on the hill that has been identified for people to go to in case of things like tsunamis and severe storms and surges that come from the sea. But with hurricanes and stuff like that, we've tried to build our houses to be able to withstand that. But we also have a village hall. We have the village church that everybody can always run to should you be in trouble. Other than that, the plans that are in place for a shelter to be built up on the hill, for people just to go and house themselves there for maybe a couple of days, whilst we try and get back to normalcy.
Indeed, a very interesting foresight about the plans that they have here in the village of Tangange. And kudos to you for the initiative that you rendered during your tenure at the Outrigger Fiji Beach Resort. I believe that the tourists who have participated in that initiative will not only contribute towards maintaining the authenticity or the beauty of our coral coast, they will eventually become environment ambassadors in their homeland. And we've heard about some of the need on the ground here in the district of Korolebuiwai, the province of Nanronga, and we've heard from Mr. Kini Chochi Sarai and Mr. Kini Williame Rabonoloa. I would like to acknowledge their time to speak with us right here on Pacific Prepared program on ABC Radio Australia.
I'm just holding on for dear life here.
For women, it's always safety first. They are the first responder.
You're listening to Pacific Prepared.
We talk a lot about disasters on Pacific Prepared. Things that people are doing to prepare for them, and stories of people who have lived through them.
World Tsunami Awareness Day is November 5 each year, and so we wanted to use this to take some time to talk specifically about tsunamis and maybe give you some practical advice along the way.
We're going to try and make this a little light, so it's not too heavy going. Let's get some music going right here.
Okay, Joe, that sounds about right for this point in time, and you've had to switch to your phone because we've run out of battery, but that's okay. We are, as we say, Pacific Prepared, Joe. And this
Show must continue.
Exactly.
The show must go on.
And I should say, too, this advice is from the UNESCO Tsunami Program website. Of course, it might change slightly depending on where you're listening and what your circumstances are, too.
Absolutely. Always be prepared. Have working emergency equipment such as flashlights, battery-powered radios, that's very important, and first aid, as well as supplies such as canned foods, medication, and clean water, ready and at hand.
Prepare a safety backpack, including medicine and first aid items. Keep evacuation plans in visible spots at home, work, and other places.
Talk about or discuss tsunamis with family and friends. Talk about this with your family. We are all guilty of saying, I'll do it later. And that is one of the weaknesses for us here in Fiji, and I bet some other countries in the Pacific about last minute preparation.
I think we're all guilty of saying, I'll do it later, Joe, including me as well when it comes to emergency plans, for sure. Also,
that's interesting. That's good to know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a universal thing. I'll do it later. Prepare an emergency plan, including each member of your household.
Teach and practice your evacuation plan with all household members. Everyone needs to know what to do in case not all members are together.
Ensure that all household members recognise natural tsunami signs. Official tsunami warnings may not be issued in time.
Be aware of your surroundings. Identify a vulnerability of key locations, includes home, workplace, school, by discussing it with your local disaster management office.
Be aware of concrete, reinforced, multi-story buildings nearby that could be used for evacuation to upper floors. Identify danger zones, assembly locations, designated evacuation routes, or the quickest way to reach higher ground safely with the help of your local disaster management officials. A safe assembly location would be at least 30 metres or 100 feet above sea level and 3 kilometres or 2 miles inland.
Look to insure your house in case of tsunami-related damages or flooding. Learn how to turn off the gas and electricity in your home. And very important, keep important documents in waterproof containers in high places, especially travel documents.
Yeah, absolutely. They're very valuable. And also, not just during a disaster, but also after a disaster. So after a tsunami happens, some things that you might want to consider would be to stay tuned to the latest emergency information. And once the all clear is given, Joe, what should we do then?
First, help injured or trapped people and call for help if necessary. Keep out of stagnant water.
Open the windows and doors and remove moist mud to help dry buildings and stay out of damaged buildings.
Also, check food supply, very important, and discard all food that has come in contact with flood water. Check for damage to the sewer and water lines and test drinking water. It's always advisable to boil every drinking water straight after any disaster.
And of course, only return home when authorities say it's safe to do so. And that advice has come from the UNESCO Tsunami Program website. And like we said at the start, it might change depending on your circumstances and where you're listening to us across the Pacific.
The time to prepare is now, not right before an emergency.
No electricity, nothing whatsoever.
You are listening to Pacific Prepared.
To an end of another episode of Pacific Prepared, thank you so much for listening in this week. And Fred, thank you for having me on the show again.
No problem. We made it to the end, Joe, just using technology and tying two pieces of string together. But we got there, though. Thanks for your help again, Joe. I really appreciate it. And I'll talk to you next week.
You're most welcome. I'll talk to you again next week, same time, same place. Until then, Vinaka Pakalivu and Nisa Mwadamanda.
Vinaka. Thanks, Joe.
Pacific Prepared.
This show was made on the lands of the peoples of Stony Creek Nation in Lutruwita, Tasmania. Also the people of the Vanua Uviti. Pacific Prepared is supported with funding from the Australian Government's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. Any views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the Australian Government. It's produced and distributed in partnership with Radio Australia and networks across the Pacific, including Radio New Zealand Pacific, National Broadcasting Corporation of Papua New Guinea, Palau Wave Radio, Fijian Broadcasting Corporation, Samoa National Radio 2AP, Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation, and Tonga Broadcasting Commission. My name's Fred Hooper, and thanks to my co-host in Fiji, Josina Nunga. Please share any information you've learned today, and stay safe. This has been Pacific Prepared.